Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. I'm glad you came by this morning. You know, last week I mentioned a story that I had found that somebody sent to me on Facebook in regard to a sting that had been set up to catch a middle school sexual perpetrator. And I read the article, and I thought, this is one of those deals when a bunch of adults are in a little bit over their head and think that they remembered to organize this and think that they did that, and they didn't. They really didn't. And they weren't clear on what it was they expected from a young girl. But the worst part about it is, the very worst part about it is the fact that after all was said and done, there was no repercussions. None. Except for the young girl. The male child didn't even suffer any consequences. Now, if it's story worthy and if people talked about it and looked at it, how could that happen? I can't tell you. And how can they go on business as usual? I can't tell you. The prisons and the county jails are full of people who make just mistakes, just stupidly do something that they shouldn't have done. This was planned, plotted, organized by grown-ups, the leaders in a local middle school in Alabama. How on earth could this have happened, and why is there not any kind of repercussion? I don't get it. I really don't get it. So I'm going to bring Shelley in because we're going to talk. I'm going to read the article so you all get the gist of exactly what took place here. And let's think about this, because I actually fear that this is more prevalent than we even know, because most people, after doing something like this, would at the very least try to keep it quiet, I think would be instinctual. Not just because they didn't want to get in trouble, because they were ashamed of themselves, I would hope. So, good morning, Shel.
Well, good morning, Renee. Interestingly enough, by the way, how was your weekend?
It was great. Great, thank you. We had a birthday party at David's for him and another one of his friends. And, you know, when you have a family as big as mine, we really could probably have a birthday party every weekend.
Yeah, I tend to remember that. but with regard to the article you're about to read, how old is it? The reason I'm saying that is because I read a more recent article over the weekend, and a lot of the facts are different than what we've been discussing on the air so far.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is actually the story that I'm going to read is dated September 24th, 2014.
Okay, but I found an article from like 4 or 5 days ago. Mm-hmm. And go ahead and read the initial article, but I'm just going to mention a couple of the things that got updated, and then we'll see how that compares to how the story originally came out. But what I read... And I'm Googling that right now while you're going to read the article from September,
okay.
Is that it was a teacher's aide that set this thing up. According to the article, she didn't coordinate with the rest of the school. She went to the principal to take this boy to task because she had gotten several complaints that he was doing wrong, and all the principal said was, well, we can't do anything against this boy unless he's caught in the act. So she told the principal.
That's all true.
Set this thing up.
Yeah.
but then never coordinated it. It kind of did it on her own, sent the girl in there and didn't provide any protection from her. And evidently the parents have tried to sue the school, and a judge dismissed the case. And so now there's this whole uprising against this judge for making such a ludicrous decision, because he said that even though the school aide has since quit her job, that he said the school can't be held responsible. That's ridiculous. Of course the school has to be held responsible. They hired the school aide.
Let me read the story, because we're going to confuse everybody. So let me read the story, and then we'll talk about everything that you're saying, because so far everything you're saying is in this article.
Okay.
So
good.
So this way everybody gets it from A to Z. Children's fiction is full of stories in which clever teen or even preteen detectives delve into crimes and mysteries that they ultimately solve gloriously, thus righting wrongs and bringing bad guys and girls to justice. These tales make for lively and highly entertaining reading that bring youthful readers many hours of constructive pleasure. However, young readers should be forewarned that kids' detective stories are just that, stories. And it's probably not wise or desirable for kids to attempt to solve serious crimes on their own in real life. This heart-rending case of a 14-year-old Alabama special needs student who was sodomized by a reputed adolescent sex fiend in a sting operation gone wrong is an excellent case in point. An Alabama middle school is accused of using a special needs student as bait in a sting operation that allegedly led to her rape. The allegations resurfaced last week when the Department of Justice filed a brief saying the Alabama District Court made a mistake by dismissing the lawsuit brought by the girl's parents. Here's how this horrifying series of events came down, according to the reports recently posted by various news services. This is what I thought you were going to, because it happened in January of 2010. A 14-year-old special needs student at Sparkman Middle School in Tony, Alabama, went to a teacher's aide named June Simpson and told her that a 16-year-old boy who was known for sexual harassment and violent behavior had propositioned her, telling her he wanted to have sex with her in the school bathroom. Upon hearing this disturbing news, Ms. Simpson should probably have gone to the school authorities immediately, and if that didn't work, she should have stepped it up to the next level by contacting city or county law enforcement. Instead of following this pedestrian series of steps, Ms. Simpson decided to implement a clever plan to catch the rapist red-handed, in the act, as it were, by using the 14-year-old as bait. Ms. Simpson told the 14-year-old to wait for the rapist in the bathroom. The plan was that as soon as the rapist made his move, Ms. Simpson, and presumably others, would swoop in and arrest him. To her credit, and perhaps hoping that help would be forthcoming, Ms. Simpson informed Vice Principal Jeannie Dunaway of the plan. But according to court documents, Vice President Dunaway did not give Simpson any advice or directive. Before we unload on Ms. Simpson, it should be pointed out that earlier that school year, she had informed Principal Ronnie Blair that the boy needed constant supervision. But Blair informed her that he could not be punished because he had not been caught in the act. Thus, although it seems quite clear that she may lack common sense, Ms. Simpson's heart appeared to have been in the right place. She wanted to nail the 16-year-old creep, and she tried to recruit help to aid her in doing precisely that. Simpson allegedly told the girl to wait in the bathroom and instructed her, "Don't do anything. Just get him to meet you, and we'll catch him." The aide later told authorities that she watched security cameras but saw neither girl nor boy go into the bathroom, so she gave up and left. However, the students had simply gone to a different bathroom where the boy allegedly raped her, according to CNN. Vice President Dunaway reportedly had the unmitigated gall to testify at a later hearing that the 14-year-old was responsible for herself once she entered the bathroom. Doctors have confirmed that as a result of the sexual assault, the poor 14-year-old victim suffered anal tearing and bruising. The child withdrew from school and her family ultimately moved to another state. The damage was done, however, and according to a press release from the National Women's Law Center, the girl's formerly good grades dropped and she began struggling with depression. Unbelievably, although, the alleged rapist was temporarily transferred to an alternative school. He later returned to Sparkman Middle School, which he is now attending. On second thought, perhaps it would have done no good had Ms. Simpson gone to the cops initially. Although a criminal investigation did take place after the rape, it appears to have been perfunctory in nature and resulted in no charges. After that, the victim's aggrieved family filed a lawsuit against the school's administrators, but it was dismissed by the Northern District of Alabama courts. Although I am typically not a big fan of the feds, it appears that they sometimes fill a valuable niche. At least they appear to be doing so in this case. In a brief they filed last week in the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, the Department of Justice stated that the Alabama District Court made a mistake and that the case should be heard in a different court. Thus, depending on how the 11th Circuit Court rules, this case may not be over yet. The National Women's Law Center has also filed an additional suit against Madison County School Board, calling the administration's response outrageous. How about callous, cruel, uncaring, and disgusting? So where do our proud players stand currently? Miss June Simpson, she was the aide, resigned, perhaps in shame, following the incident. But Jeannie Dunaway has been promoted and is now principal of an elementary school. Sparkman Middle School Principal Ronnie Blair remains at the helm of his school. It is unknown whether or not he is supervising his 16-year-old rapist as he lurks in the corridors of this bastion of higher learning. I am slowly beginning to understand why some parents make the choice to homeschool their children. Now, there are many comments, and of course, they all are in disapproval, and they question the integrity of the leadership here. So, now, let's talk about this. I mean, it is what it is. I don't think you can find anything about this story that has any redeeming qualities, can you?
Oh, no, I think it's one of the most repulsive stories with regard to inappropriate adult behavior with regard to dealing with situations with children. The initial conduct was outrageous from the get-go, even considering using this girl as bait. But then the covering of their butts afterwards is equally disgusting. The only one who did anything with a conscience was the aide who resigned her position. But to make the comments that they made that the girl was responsible for herself when she entered the bathroom is ludicrous. She was doing something she thought to help other people, other girls not get raped. So here she does something out of bravery and out of trying to be a help. And then she doesn't have anybody backing her up. That's disgusting. That's one of the most disgusting things I've ever heard, that they took such a cavalier attitude. And then that principal gets a promotion on top of it. The whole thing is just extremely distasteful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and what about the fact that if you're 14, I was trying to remember, whenever I read these stories, I try to remember who Rini was at some of these ages. And I'm going to be honest, at 14, I was still pretty naive. Of course, it was a different time. It was more than 50 years ago, so it was a different time in our history, for sure. But if I'd had a teacher, an aide, a counselor, we used to call them, direct me on something, I would have thought that I was being given adult information, that I was going to be a part of an adult supervised operation.
Exactly.
It would have never entered my mind that it might not work, Shell, because I trusted the grown-ups in my life.
Right, and I think that's how most kids think. They don't think in terms of it not working. They think they're being brought in, like you said, they're being brought into something that's very adult. They're being trusted.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It never dawned on her that anything could have gone wrong.
Exactly, and so where does it now? I mean, they say, you know, that she moved on and she did this and she did that, which is all blah 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 talk, because they probably really haven't questioned her or don't really know what's going on in the poor kid's head because nobody bothered to find out. Otherwise, I think we might have seen some comments from her or her parents. So it sounds to me as though, as usual, in typical leadership protocol, there was no follow-up. Nobody did talk to this family again once the school dismissed it and a judge said, well, you know, it's somebody else's fault. It's not the fault of the school. It's whose fault is it then? The little let's make grown-ups do stupid things gremlin or something?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, so who takes responsibility for this? That's what bothers me. That's what bothers me about us in really simple language. The thing I hate most about the adults that I know today, and I'm going to include myself, even people that I hold in high regard, is the inability to accept responsibility. It's so easy to pass it on. It's so easy. Do you remember I hadn't met you yet, but when I first started work at the Institute, everything was somebody else's fault. Every person I talked to could share a name with me of somebody else who didn't do their job. That's why they couldn't do their job well. I mean, it was like a major affliction in that place. So I started a class that was called The Buck Stops Here. Did you start?
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was still doing that class?
Yep.
And I called it that because I said, I may not know what to do. I'll be honest. Because sometimes things snowball into a snowball that's so big that it doesn't matter. Good intentions can't make it any smaller. But that I would try and that I wouldn't tell you whatever you came to me for, I wouldn't tell you that I couldn't do something about it. And I kept that promise for a long time.
That's right. Yep.
And for me, that is what's missing. Now, here you have Miss Simpson, who's probably a good egg, probably was mortified by what she found out about this 16-year-old boy. And because we don't know anything about her and because there's no background in the story about her, an aide, isn't an aide usually somebody who's like volunteer basis?
I'm not sure. I mean, it sounds like it would be, but I don't know if it's a paying position or not.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure either.
I think a teacher's aide is just somebody who hasn't gotten their certification, is not an actual teacher yet, and it's like an internship type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not positive mm-hmm. about that, but I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Maybe one of our callers or one of our listeners could update us on that, or if somebody wants to let me know on Facebook, we have a lot of people who are affiliated with grade school and middle school that listen to the show. So let's say this aide, Ms. Simpson, is not a paid employee, does not receive any benefits, consequently has obviously little or no authority. So on thinking like that, And in a scenario that this could be detrimental to the health of both of these students, I think that maybe having volunteers, and this was an issue we ran into as well at the Institute, volunteers who had done the program and wanted to come back and wanted to be a part of it would give unwarranted advice to guests. Do you remember that happening, honey? Shall we?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I'm outside with my dog, so I muted it because I sometimes get loud out here.
Well, you remember what that would be like if a guest came way back in the day when we accepted volunteers in a actually we even had a volunteer of the year one year because I was so enamored by the efforts of one of our volunteers. So,
right.
But again, we had to say, please don't give advice. Please
right.
don't take things into your own hands. Because you, what happened with you is a great story. You should share it with other people to give them courage and give them hope. But not advice. Not advice. So here we have an aide that we are going to assume, for all intents and purposes right now, is not a paid employee. And she cares. Otherwise, you know, all of her other associates that were paid employees didn't do a damn thing. So at least she cared. But what she didn't do was a part of the intricacy that's involved when you're going to do something like this. Policemen, FBI, organizations like that do a lot of educating on how to set up stings. It's not just, I'll meet you in about a half an hour in the corner in the dark. You know, it's about really knowing what you're doing. So, in my eyes, she had a good thought. She cared. She was obviously upset about this young girl. And yet, look what happened. So, she leaves her position. I guess you can't really get fired if you're only a volunteer, and it doesn't. It kind of like leaves that part of it out. This story. But the principal now is still the principal. The vice principal that was brought into this moved on to another school to be a principal. And when the family went to court to sue, not just because their daughter was attacked, but because she was attacked on the on the prelude to catching a bad kid, and nothing was even done for that. So what does this whole story tell you? If we hadn't already talked about it and you didn't read everything you read, what do you think should have been done just by hearing what we've heard so far?
Well, one of the things that should have been done before we even talk about the girl and the teachers and everything else is that the boy should have been brought up on charges. I mean, the whole point of what the story, the backdrop of this story is that she was doing a sting operation to catch this boy because they said they couldn't do anything about it unless he was caught in the act. He was caught in the act. And still nothing happened, so she basically suffered for no reason. You know, at least if they had caught the kid, there could have been some vindication for her. So, you know, not that being raped would have not happened, but at least it would have served a greater purpose. She would have been seen as a hero. But now nothing happened to the boy, and she was ridiculed for her participation, like she should have known better. So it was like a double insult to her. But the biggest, the most glaring thing here is why wasn't the boy brought up on charges? Because he was, in fact, caught.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask you another question in regard to that. How many times do you think, this is just going to be a guess by both of us, but how many times do you think in a scenario like personal attack, where somebody is raped, somebody is beaten within an inch of their lives, how many times do you think they're caught in the act? Not many, right? Not.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think people are caught in the act a lot, but not rapes and things like that, because that's usually done, you know, behind closed doors. But assaults a lot of times happen in public. If you're talking sexual assaults, I don't think they're ever caught in the act 1% of the time.
Exactly. Well, and spousal abuse, which is another story that we're going to talk about this week. This week on Law and Order, SVU, Joe Biden, there was all kinds of celebrities in between the marathon of shows about stopping sexual abuse, about the kind of things that go on behind closed doors, not just with children, but adults. I mean, the whole scenario was covered, that this has to stop. And here we have a situation where this 16-year-old boy, and I'm going to look at it from being a mom, like I look at things a lot of times, a grandma, this kid needs help. This kid needs help. By not punishing him, which is sounds like the, you know, the mean thing to do, and we hear about, look at the outfit she's got on. No wonder she got raped. Or she's the one who invited him. I mean, you and I both are avid SVU watchers, so we've heard all these stories. The fact of the matter is, doing something against somebody's will is not okay. It's just what it said. If it's against my will, back off, Jack. Period. I don't care if I told you to come over here. I don't care if I got the party started with a glass of champagne and making out with you for a little while. If I say back off, Jack, you're supposed to back off. Isn't that the way the laws are written? Isn't that the way they're explained to all of us?
Yeah, no means no.
Exactly. So now you have a predator, a 16-year-old predator, who they showed proof. They showed that she had anal tearing. They showed that she was attacked. And yet, at 14, with a 16-year-old, there was no repercussions. So something here is really amiss. I mean, Let's say this didn't even set up. Let's say none of that other stuff happened. The prelude to this didn't even exist. It still means that he got away with rape. Right?
Which I don't understand. And if he gets away with rape, what's to prevent him from continually doing it?
Well, for sure. Or anybody else. Anybody else who's been, you know, who's thought about it, or maybe come close with a girlfriend, or maybe a situation has led to that, but they've worried about the repercussions and stopped themselves. Now they've seen that it doesn't necessarily, if you do it right, there's not necessarily any repercussions. So along with, again, I know I sound like a broken record, because everybody would like to blame the car for an accident when it's actually the driver. You know, I mean, the drivers in this case were all these adults. Simpson, who had obviously good intentions, but wasn't trained to do anything like this. She thought she must watch, sitcoms or something where these kind of setups work, or like children's shows, like they said in the beginning of this article, you know, when you see teenagers who become detectives, junior detectives, and can bring somebody to, you know, the kind of retribution that they deserve for their actions, when in truth, this is something that adults who decide to do this for a living get trained, really trained for. And she took it upon herself. I can't, you know, I think about this from a point of view of Renee, and I think to myself, could I have somebody come to me and tell me this story and then go to my higher-up and have the higher-up say to me, well, he has to be caught in the act. My immediate response would be, unusual to catch a rapist in the act. They're pretty pretty private about the act that they're going to commit, aren't they? So none of that was brought up. So then I think to myself, okay, well, I'm gonna take a stand because I'm worried about this girl, and I'm going to get righteous about this, and I'm going to do something like this. Don't you think that you would have spent days organizing this so that there wouldn't be any mistakes, so that there wouldn't be anything that happened that you can't change like this? Wouldn't you, if you had any sense about you at all, say for whatever reasons you decided this was the right thing to do, I don't know what those reasons would be, but say you did. I mean, and you've got three bathrooms on the floor, or three bathrooms in the vicinity, or 10 bathrooms, or two bathrooms, any chance for error? Wouldn't you have made sure you were both on the same page, for God's sakes?
And if you read, like, some of the later articles where they have the girl testifying, she said that she told them she didn't want to be part of this, and she was talked into it because they wanted to catch this boy. And so that makes it even worse that she was kind of doing it against her will because she was more or less coerced into doing it by an adult. That makes it even worse because here her sense was telling her not to do it, and then she does it to be helpful and ends up getting hurt. Yeah, and you were talking about the fact that the boy had other stuff going on with him. It says that he had been brought up on 14 different charges of disciplinary issues, including four for inappropriate sexual conduct. So how is it that nothing was done? I would like to know who this boy was related to, because maybe somebody inappropriately got involved here to have him not charged. It doesn't make sense to me that with the history this boy had, and then after being caught in the act, like they said, nothing was done to him. I find that mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like the feedback on the emails. Everybody is just outraged, and they don't. This one is long. I don't want to read the whole thing, but it says it's inexcusable that a teacher's aide, wholly untrained in law enforcement, took it upon herself to conduct what amounted to a sting operation. At the very least, she should have been enlisting professional assistance in catching this young man before any harm befell the special needs student. I mean, isn't that how most adults would think? Wouldn't most adults realize that this isn't, I mean, plus that, 16 red-blooded boy versus a 14-year-old special needs, and they don't say what her needs are. This could just mean that she has ADHD for all we know.
Right, I don't know what special needs either, yeah.
But even still, is that a fair, I don't know. Is it fair to put those two people in a room alone together, period, for any reason?
Of course not. I mean, this wasn't thought out at all. And the whole thing is that I believe teachers' aides are paid, by the way, because it said in one area that she quit because Blair told her she was going to fire her. So So she quit in lieu of getting fired. And, you know, so I don't know that teachers' aides are paid or not paid, but the bottom line is they're not fully certified teachers yet, but I think they're doing intern hours, just like an intern at a hospital would, so that they probably do get some pay. I remember I used to work with teachers' aides when I was in school, and they were like part of the staff. It wasn't like a volunteer. But what I find interesting in this article is that they said the Justice Department, which you mentioned already, and 33 private organizations have asked the 11th Circuit Court to appeal and overturn that lower court decision in Alabama. So it's not just the Justice Department, not just the federal government, but it's also 33 private organizations, including the women's activist group that you talked about. To think about how much outrage this story has caused to have that many organizations. The only thing I'm saying is this is 2014. This attack took place in 2010. What is taking so long for it to get to this point where there is such outrage? Why wasn't there this outrage six months after it happened? We're talking 4 years later. What took everybody so long to get outraged about?
Well, because
and why
it was probably,
did the story not even hit the media until September, if it happened in 2010, for God's sake?
Because it was probably kept under wraps. And then once it got into the court system, then it becomes a matter of public record. Prior to that, it's more private, would be my guess. And I do see some things about aides being paid, you know, like $8 an hour and stuff like that, to work at special needs schools. I don't see anything about aides in public schools. So, but it doesn't matter anyway. The fact of the matter is they're a helper. They're
right.
Not supposed to be, you know, the head honcho. They are
uh-huh.
a helper. There to help keep kids from, you know, doing foolish things and making mistakes in their daily social and academic life in school. So it seems to me that the ball got dropped here when information was given to two of the bona fide leaders in the school and having the principal say, we can't do anything because we can't do anything until he's caught in the act. And what kind of a mind do you have to have if somebody said that to you, Shelley? If, let's go to the Institute, you and I are working side by side, and you tell me that that one of our, and this happens in the world of spas and things like that, one of our therapists has been very quietly accused of taking liberties with somebody on their table. And I say to you, the general manager, oh, well, there's nothing I can do. It's his word against hers. He'd have to be caught in the act. Would it automatically come to you to, like, set something up to put somebody in harm's way like that, even another grown-up, and think
not.
That you be in the act? Well, so how does a mind go to doing that with a 14-year-old special needs child?
I know. It's ridiculous.
Unless Miss Simpson is special needs, too. Right? I mean, unless her ability to assess adult situations is impaired in some way.
Well,
and
I think to make that type of a decision shows some logical impairment, absolutely. I mean, that's just not a normal thing to do, to put a child at risk. She's not a police officer. Like you said, maybe she watches too much TV or reads too many books, and, you know. But it was a very foolish thing she did. It was a very inappropriate, irresponsible to put a child in harm's way. And, I mean, there's so many things about that that's wrong. But it started from the get-go when she shared it with the principal. The principal should have emphatically said, no, you can't do anything like that. If this is going to go any further, it has to go to the authorities. It's not something we can do inside the school, you know, because we can't put a child at risk and things like that. But the principal was very almost non-responsive based on what we're hearing, very nonchalant about it, didn't seem to give her any direction, and that's unconscionable. I think the principal absolutely should be held equally responsible for this bad decision because didn't give any direction to the aide when she came to her. So I'm finding more fault with the principal than the teacher's aide, although because the teacher's aide is probably somebody who's young, very inexperienced, and I just think it was a very poorly thought out plan from the get go, and nobody nipped it in the bud. So. Mm-hmm.
And in the higher echelon, if we move this up a few rungs on the ladder to a different scenario, very sadly, we see this a lot. We see this a lot in our government, the people that are supposed to, the head honcho, the top leader, the whoever.
Mm-hmm.
They often are kept safe from any kind of ridicule or you know ramifications from an act like this by all the little people that surround them. So it's not like it's the first time. Somebody mentions in one of the comments, this is totally outrageous situation, a gross miscarriage of justice. Heads definitely should have rolled, starting with the rapist and working upward through the school administration. But as we all know, crap rolls downhill. It always seems to be the lower-level employees, as in drones, who get punished while the high-ups walk off scot-free and sometimes even leave with a golden parachute. Think about the Abu Ghraib prisoner torture scandal. I don't recall Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld going to jail, even though his handwritten note, it's time to take the gloves off, was conspicuously posted at the facility to encourage enhanced interrogation techniques.
Yep, I remember that whole thing. That was awful.
Yep. That having been said, it is inexcusable that a teacher's aide, wholly untrained in law enforcement, took it upon herself to conduct what amounted to a sting operation. He says something interesting, too. At the very least, Ms. Simpson should have enlisted professional assistance in catching the culprit. Shortly before the act, before any harm befell the special needs student, in particular, the special needs student should have worn a wire and hidden camera. Only after she and her parents were fully informed of the possible risks of the operation. An undercover law enforcement official should have been positioned directly outside of the correct bathroom. I don't know if those are all the steps somebody should have followed. They certainly make more sense than going in with one teacher watching a camera, knowing that there's several bathrooms and only one teacher. And what was she going to I know a lot of 16-year-old boys, and I'm a pretty rugged old lady. I wouldn't take on a lot of the 16-year-old boys I know. What was she thinking she was going to do? How did she think she was going to stop anything? She could have caused the demise of her and the girl. So, you know, the whole plot plan sounds like that of a 14-year-old instead of an adult. I think that a lot of the stuff that...
Did they say how old the teacher's aide was anywhere?
No, but it shows a picture of her. I'm going to guess she's in her 40s.
Oh, okay, so she's not... Well, that's even more surprising if she's not a real, real young... I mean, some teachers age are right out of college, like 20 years old or something.
Mm-mm.
Wow, really?
Mm-mm. So, I think the how do we, let's talk about if we can. I don't know if there are any answers. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, okay, if this was one of my grandchildren, one of my daughter, if this happened to somebody that I knew and had some love and time invested in, what would I want to see happen here? And who do I think is to blame? Laying blame is a tricky thing, you know, especially when you're going just by the facts that we read in an article like this.
Right.
How do you think this could have been stopped, Shel, with everything we've learned so far?
What do you mean, how could it have been stopped?
I mean, say you volunteered to work over at one of your at your niece's school, and your niece brought a young girl to you that told her a story like this, that somebody was propositioning her, and you know, what could they do, and they were afraid of him, and now your niece is afraid of him and everything. What would be your first step? What would be the first thing you did to make a difference in a scenario like this?
Well, the first thing I would do is probably go to the principal, like they did, and if I didn't get what I thought was an appropriate response from the principal, then I would probably go to the authorities.
And when you say authorities, are you talking about the local police department? Are you talking about making a police report?
Yes.
Okay. You're not talking about going up higher up to school officials. You're talking about going directly to the enforcers, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, because it's like, you know, if I'm not getting anywhere with the principal, I don't know that the school board is going to do anything different, then I don't really see that the school, you know, I don't know. I don't really look at school officials. I think they're too far removed to be realistic a lot of times. I don't think that they really pay attention to what's going on. So I don't school officials aren't with the children. They're like, I don't mean to say this in an insulting way, but they're paper pushers. So I don't see it that a lot of times I have not seen good results by going to school officials. If the principal is not savvy enough and not involved enough to fix things, going to an upper-level school official, in my eyes, they just protect each other. I don't see that that would do anything. So I would feel motivated at that point then to go to an outside law enforcement and get them involved.
Well, I want to remind you of something, a story we did last year where a teacher who had been found in a bad position with a student and was going to be given jail time by a judge was overthrown by that state's school superintendent. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We never did any more follow-up on that. I did a little bit of research about the chain of command, and apparently that is something the school superintendent, just like the DMV, can often override the enforcer's outlook on something,
mm-hmm.
which I find to be...
If there was a lot of public outrage over that, I'm not so sure that that hasn't been changed somehow, because there was a real public outrage about that.
Yeah, but again, you know, I don't know. So let's keep it on a smaller scale, though, than going to that. How would you counsel your niece and the girl that's in trouble? Just for starters, just to keep them safe from the get-go.
That's
I think
not the bathroom alone, though. It makes sure go in pairs. I think that's one of, if you know that there's a boy or a group of boys, excuse me, that's intimidating or threatening, then you don't go alone. You make sure you always go in pairs.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is some of the most important, most correctly spoken information that anybody can give to teenagers today, to have a buddy, to not go into places. I mean, how many times do we watch a scary movie and we see the girl out there walking around all by herself with the axe murderer out there in the dark? And don't you say to yourself, what's the matter with you? Why didn't you bring somebody with you while you're out there walking around by yourself? It's the same way in our world today, very sadly. I want to say that there have been a couple times in my life, I've worked hard on my life, and there have been times when I've worked in a restaurant, a hotel, any of those kind of places, all night, all day, all night. Traveled around by myself at 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. Gone into a gas station. There was a time when Big Spike wanted me to carry a gun.
Wow.
And I refused because I said that I was afraid I would hurt somebody, myself included, by the way. But the real important thing that I want to say to young people today is that keep yourself out of harm's way in every aspect that you can think of. If you live at home with somebody who's abusing you, stay away from them as best you can. You need to share that with somebody. You need to tell somebody. But having a buddy, somebody to verify the things that you say are happening. Because the other problem we have is what? That a lot of times nobody believes a kid when they tell them something, right? That's another issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big issue. It's a big issue. So you need to somehow create credibility for yourself.
Exactly. And we're in the world of very high technology. Most 14-year-olds I know have cell phones with cameras, with recorders, record your voice, everything. You need to, first of all, something else I want to say about this. What do you know about co-ed bathrooms in high schools, Shell? Is that the way it functions now?
I'd never heard that.
I'm going to have to ask some of my teenagers. I think it works that way.
I've never heard that. Why? Are you hearing that there's co-ed bathrooms?
Yes. Not in middle schools, but in colleges and stuff like that. But I'm gonna check that out, because here's my thought. If you have, most schools have got cameras set up, right? As a matter of fact, in this, she talks about watching a camera. How would a boy and a girl both go in the same bathroom, period?
Exactly. I don't understand that at all.
So I think my Crystal, she's my input person. I will call her today and ask her if it's unheard of or if it's something that happens, that boys follow girls into bathrooms. When I was a kid, a boy would be mortified to walk into a girl's room, and vice versa, right? I mean, mortified.
Well, yeah, but if they're predatory, they wouldn't be.
I don't know. Seen walking in and out of a girl's bathroom, even if they were a bad kid, I think there was still connotations to that years ago. Maybe not now, but there was a time when a tough guy, in particular, wouldn't have been caught dead in a girl's room or out of a girl's room. Everybody would make fun of him.
Right. So remember, a predator doesn't have normal emotional responses to anything. They're going to be very stealthful. They're not going to do it when there are people watching. So they're not, first of all, they're not going to care about getting caught, and some of the excitement is doing something where they might get caught. You have to understand, a predator, they get excited out of creating fear and pain in others. Do you? Do I? No. They don't have normal reactions to anything. They're not going to get embarrassed, you know. So what would keep a normal kid out of that is certainly not going to keep a predator. The only thing the predator is focused on is pouncing on their prey. And they can become very stealthful. So that would not in any way, shape, or form deter a predator from going in if that's something they wanted to do. They would just be very, very careful and sneaky because that's where the word predator comes from. It's like a predator in the wild. They know how to be stealthful. They know how to approach where they're not going to have any witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're probably right. But even still, I would question if, well, and of course, the other thing is, if they had cameras, if she was watching from a camera, then the other bathroom must have had a camera as well. Am I right? Or would that be an incorrect assumption? What do you think?
I'm not sure. You would think if they had a camera on one, they would have it on all, but who knows? I mean, how many times do you go to these places and they want to get the film, they say, oh, that camera was never set up. It's, you know, that happens to law enforcement all the time. They're trying to get evidence to watch, and you probably don't have the cameras that are installed aren't even functioning. So it should be. If they have it on one, they should have it on all. But we did a report on one school where the bathroom where an attack took place was up on an upper level, and there was no camera there because students generally didn't go there, and that's where the attacks were taking place.
That's true.
Remember, so, that was like months ago?
Yeah, I don't remember the entire story,
but I just remember that the one bathroom that the attack took place was the only bathroom where there wasn't a camera, or there wasn't a hall monitor. There wasn't anybody monitoring it. And so that's, and I guess all the kids knew that, and so that's where all the attacks took place.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the moral of the story, the best thing that that we can take from this and offer for advice is what we just said, and that is to keep a buddy with you and absolutely positively share with someone if somebody makes you a proposition such as, you know, meet me in the bathroom, let's get it on. You need to tell somebody about that. Mm-hmm. And if that person talks to you about setting up a game plan to catch this person, tell them no. You're not trained to do that. You don't know how to do that, and don't let them talk you into it. This was stupidity at its best. And you really can't, and I sound really cold-hearted when I say this, but you cannot fix stupid. I'm sorry. You can't. You cannot fix stupid. That's why I hate the words stupid. I've never been one to use the word stupid. Stupid for me means it's not fixable. And this was a stupid, stupid thing to do. This was stupid for aid.
Now, this really was a stupid thing to do because to think it through in the way that it was, but it was stupid on the principal's part also to not respond to the teacher's aid.
Absolutely. What kind of a stupid statement is that? They have to be caught in the act. That's a stupid statement. And, you know, no matter how you want to cut it, you can't. I wish you could because I would go around with my magic wand and do it all day today. But there's just no way. So, but we are out of time. Shell, do you think you would be up for doing our show about the circus and zoo animals tomorrow?
Sure.
Okay, because I wanna go there because it's the time of year when here in Florida our zoos get really busy because the weather is cooling. The animals are more active. A lot of people go to the zoo this time of year. So I think it's...
Second Tuesday, our bullies to buddies day. Shouldn't we do this Wednesday?
We can. We can. Yeah, we can do bullies.
I think a lot of people know Tuesday bullies to buddies, and that you know they might tune in specifically for that because we tend to always cover it on Tuesdays, and I can do that show Wednesday.
Okay. Perfect. 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 So we'll be back, everybody. God bless. Have a great day. And we'll be back tomorrow. Bullies to buddies. Thanks, honey. See you later.
Thanks. Have a great day, everyone.